T-minus 15 and counting. I think. Good morning. I got to wait because I'm supposed to start right at 9:30. Wayne told me that if I started any earlier or any later than 9:30, and I follow orders. Listen, it's hard to believe that tomorrow we come to the last piece of the armor. Isn't that hard to believe? And so this morning I woke up about 4 o'clock thinking about this lesson. And first of all, I started thinking about tomorrow. I mean, surely that has to be the most important part of the armor. The gladius, that's the Roman sword. It's called the gladius. We'll be talking about that. That's a sword. That's it. And yet, I got up this morning and I started, you know, I added a bunch of stuff this morning, took a bunch of stuff away. And as I looked at today, we're going to be looking at the helmet of salvation. And I have one of those duh moments. You ever have one of those? Now I understand why every time I prepare, it's like that piece of the armor is the most important. Because that's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. You can't have one piece and you can't have a few pieces. You got to have the whole armor. Every piece of this armor is important. Every piece. And we've been talking about the armor of God this whole week. Go to that next slide. There's a reason why I show this slide every morning. I have people that haven't been here before. Even this morning, there's someone here. But this is something that inspired me as I was, I was doing a Veterans Day service. I don't know, I think it was. Because I love to celebrate veterans. When I was in Maryland, it was so cool. I probably had 15 World War II veterans. And boy, those guys just love Veterans Day. But World War II, as you know, this is June 6, 1944. The biggest armed forces group ever. 156,000 troops. You had 13,000 besides that dropped in behind enemy lines. You had the guns on the big ships bombarding the shore. And then those 156,000 were in those landing crafts, you know, waiting for the doors to open, and they would charge up the beach. And so General Eisenhower, he wrote the troops a letter right before the battle. Dr. Carter told me he looked it up. How many pages did you say it was? About 3 pages? 3 or 4 pages, something like that. He wrote them a letter, and the whole letter was trying to encourage them because, you know, the Germans had been in battle. And for most of these troops, it was the first battle they would ever see. The first. And so this is how he closed out the letter. He said, your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. And why I tie that in with this is that's exactly what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesians 6. He spent this entire letter. Let me get my notes back up here because, like I said, I did a lot of this morning. There you go. Paul has spent this entire letter explaining the journey. Explaining the journey we travel once we get saved. And we enter into this journey of the Christian life, the walk with God. And in this journey, we have an enemy. And the enemy is well equipped. And he will fight, and he does fight savagely. But let me get into today's lesson. The battle is not only fought around us, but it's fought within here. After equipping the believer with truth, that's the belt, with righteousness, that's the breastplate, with peace, that's the shoes, and with faith, that's the shield, Paul now turns to the helmet of salvation, which protects the believer's thoughts. Because I believe that's where Satan attacks you first. The believer's identity, assurance, and hope. Can anyone tell me here why, if you can give me the final straw that broke the camel's back, why was John Wesley kicked out of the Anglican Church? What part of his belief? Well, I just need to tell you, that's kind of a trick question. Immediately people would say, well, holiness. No, no. When John Wesley went to Aldersgate Street and he said he knew that he was saved, and we started believing, and I already believed in it because I wasn't there. Some of you probably thought I was. But the doctrine of assurance, that you can know you're saved. You can know it. And I'm glad to say today, I know I'm saved. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. Listen, Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died to rise again so that you and I could have hope and assurance, and he could change our identity. Do you know the day I got saved, my identity was changed? I mean, my identity was changed. Before that, I was as lost can be. And it wasn't just the acts that I did, and I did some pretty crazy things back then. I won't even get into it. But the day I met Christ, I could sing a brand new song. I had a brand new identity. Because the scripture's clear, I became a brand new creature. All those old things, they passed away and everything became brand new. Do you believe that? I do. Well, Satan doesn't like that. And one of his key weapons against us, his deception, his lies, is to attack our assurance, our hope, our identity. Ephesians 6:17, the core idea here is salvation is the believer's secure identity and hope in Christ. It is. Here's where it, you know, all through the book of Ephesians, this is where this idea of salvation and assurance. Ephesians 1:17, we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:13 and 14, the Spirit seals believers as a guarantee that you have an inheritance. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, God made us alive. I say praise the Lord, I once was dead. But now I'm alive, and he raised us up in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Salvation is a gift of grace. Aren't you glad? I say praise the Lord. Salvation guards the mind. It guards our assurance, our identity, and our hope. The helmet protects against doubt, because that's one of Satan's greatest weapons, doubt and fear. Have you ever been attacked with doubt? I have. And fear. But I think one of his greatest weapons is spiritual confusion. If he can get you confused and you don't know who you can trust. But remember, Satan, he's been at this a long time. I was telling tab this morning. If you don't think he has the brass enough to attack you, he had it to attack Michael and his angels in heaven. And he was so good at deception, a third of the angels fell. Wow. In this spiritual warfare, I believe the enemy, and I believe you can just read Ephesians. He aims to confuse the mind, distort the identity, undermine assurance, plant lies, and his ultimate goal is to produce hopelessness. You know, I think that's what hell's going to be. I don't think much about the fire. I think about the total darkness. To be in a place of total darkness and know that there's no hope ever. That's how Satan works. If he can get us confused and off track and, as Corey's been preaching, out of focus, he wants us to feel hopeless. Let's talk about the Roman armor, because that's what Paul kind of built this analogy on. The helmet is called the Galia. The Galia. The helmet for the Roman soldier was built for survival. This was one of the most vulnerable spots. Go ahead and go down. Well, we haven't read our scripture yet, have we? We got to read the scripture. Stop right there, Joe. Let's go to the next one. Let's read exactly what Paul said. And read with me. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on. It's imperative in the Greek. Do it now in the aorist tense. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. You must put on the whole armor, everything. No wonder, as I've been studying this week, every piece seems like it's the most important piece, because every piece is the most important. It's the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes or strategies or plans. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let me stop there for a moment. I had someone come to me last night. I love it when people ask me honest questions. And this person said, I really have enjoyed the armor of God, but I'm a little concerned about something. In the heavenly realms, does that mean that Satan is still in heaven? That's kind of a good question. Now, this is not talking about God's heaven. This is talking about the atmosphere. This is talking about the world we live in. Have you ever heard that we call that the heavens? Well, that's what this is talking about, because the enemy is all around us. This is, as we look around us, this is the heavenly realms. And there's evil in this place. Satan, well, let's keep reading. But does that help a little bit? Because I think that's an honest question. When I was in the Marines, they said the only dumb question is one you don't ask. And I think that's true. If you got a question, ask it. God's not afraid to hear your questions. He's not. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand again. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Wow. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Man, that's a powerful lesson right there. Go to the next page. In addition to all of this, take up, again, imperative mood, aorist tense, take it up now. The shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Got to pray for each other, folks. We're not on this journey by ourselves. Now let's just kind of we're going to real quickly just look at the armor till we get to the helmet. Let's go. First, the belt of truth. Do you remember the lesson on that? Powerful piece of the armor. It's the foundation of everything. It's the truth of God. It's the truth. It never changes. Next piece, the breastplate of righteousness. God's holiness and His Holy Spirit, it protects your vital organs. It protects the heart. For the Roman soldier, it protected his lungs, his heart, his kidney. This is a vital piece of the armor. Aren't you glad God has provided this to protect your heart? Because Satan would love to destroy your heart. Third piece of the armor. And you know I love this one. You put on those gospel shoes, man. You just don't realize the Romans were innovative. Their shoes were something different than anybody else's. They had those hobnobs on the bottom. This was both an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon. And these shoes were special made. The Roman soldiers, man, when they got into battle, this is one of the things that gave them the edge. And when you and I get into the battle, the shoes of the gospel of peace, remember what we said? Jesus said, I give you my peace, and my peace I leave with you. So the peace we're talking about is the peace of Christ in our souls. And as we go through the journey, we wear these shoes. We have the peace of Christ. I say, praise the Lord. Then we go to yesterday's lesson. You take up the shield of faith. That's another mighty piece of the armor. I love the fact that is about 4 feet tall. And the shield would, and when you read that fiery darts, you don't realize that's talking about projectiles that were fiery and could burn right through wood and metal and the enemy there, they were powerful. The Romans had special shields. Go to the next one though, because I think that's important. That was called in the Roman army the turtle formation. That's like the body of Christ. Together we take the shields and we put them around us, we put them over us. And no matter what the enemy throws our way, we are protected together as God's family. And the Romans would march forward into battle and they would just mow down the people in front of them. And then those shoes with the hobnobs, they would just walk right over the enemy. I say praise the Lord for the shield of faith. Aren't you glad God gave us faith through Christ? Aren't you glad that we can... Listen, one of my favorite for me is not only can I trust God, but I can entrust everything I am to Him. I say praise the Lord, and together the enemy doesn't stand a chance against a church that's united, on fire for God, working together with the whole armor. We're more than conquerors. Go to the next one. And here we are today. We're talking about the helmet of salvation. We're talking about another very important part of the armor. The galea. The galea. I said galea. That's because I'm from West Virginia. A helmet built for survival and confidence. Today I told some girl I was from Ohio. And I think she got confused. She said, Ohio? I said, well, let me explain. I was born in West Virginia. But I was raised in Ohio. Ohio, we call it. And she said, well, where do you like the best? I said, of course, God's country, Ohio. O-H-I-O, the Ohio State Buckeyes. So you just got to. Roman soldiers wore a helmet called the galea. It was engineered and special and different than the other people's helmets that they battled against. It was designed to take care of the warrior's head, therefore his life. Safe in chaos, every feature had a purpose. Protect the cranial, protect the cheeks. Just look at how the helmet was made to protect your entire head. Because if you got hit with a weapon in that day, anywhere in this area, you were dead. This is one of the most recognizable, when you study history, and effective helmets ever used in the ancient world. It was made of bronze or iron, and it was built for impact. It was forged, and the materials chosen for this, their purpose was to absorb and deflect violent blows. Whether struck by a sword, a spear, or a club, the helmet's metal shell would protect the soldier as a line of defense against any kind of fatal head injury. It was lined with leather. That's something you got to realize. It was lined with leather to cushion against the blow. I wonder where the NFL got that idea back in the day. It was lined with leather, providing cushioning, reducing the shock at impact. This wasn't a luxury. This was for survival. A soldier needed to wear his helmet for long marches and extended battles because it contributed to his endurance and his alertness. It was part of him being ready for battle. These cheek guards, most of the enemy they fought did not have these. These were a special part of the Galia. It included these cheek guards that wrapped around the sides of the face. It protected the jaw. I know I already said that. The ears and the lower skull. Because these are highly vulnerable in close combat. They're also highly vulnerable to flying arrows and weapons. The guards, they also help stabilize the helmet and keep it firmly in place when the soldier was moved or was struck. These helmets had decorative plumes. You see that? Now you would say, well, that's just for show. No. It shows their rank. It was significant in battle to know who the leader was. It showed what unit they were in. The plumes will be a different color. You would know whether they were a foot soldier or a cavalryman. These plumes had a purpose. It also was intimidating to the enemy. I don't know how, but it was. And if you had on your helmet and the plumes were in place, for the Roman army, it boosted morale. It made the troops feel like they were ready for battle. It wasn't just functional, it communicated identity. Now listen, it communicated identity, it communicated pride, and the fact that you belong to something significant. When a Roman soldier was part of a legion and then part of a squad, and his plume was a certain color, based on the legion, based on the squad, based on his job, there was pride. They were designed for battle hazards, the swords, the arrows, the falling debris. Now think about that. The Galia was engineered to protect against a full spectrum of battlefield dangers. In every scenario, the helmet preserved the soldier's ability to think, to see, and to respond, making it one of the most essential pieces of the armor. I got a feeling they're all important. But I can see why this one's important. The helmet was essential. No soldier would enter battle without it. Here's the spiritual parallel. When Paul talks about the helmet of salvation, he intentionally draws on the Galatians' purpose. Intentionally. It's to protect the mind. Listen, if Satan can get into your head, I was going to say half the battle's won, but I think two-thirds of the battle's won. If Satan can get in your head, if he can get you into a place where you're confused spiritually, where you feel low, depressed, discouraged, defeated, it protects the command center of your life. This was the command center of the soldier's life. It's also the command center of our life. Just as the Roman soldier helmet guarded the head from physical destruction, salvation guards the believer's mind from spiritual destruction, spiritual confusion, spiritual deception, spiritual despair. Now, the Old Testament background for this, Paul draws directly from Isaiah's description of God as a warrior. In Isaiah 59, 17, talking about God, he says he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Wow. You go to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul calls it the helmet of the hope of salvation. Romans 12, 2, he says, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, take every thought captive. Let me tell you something. That's an important statement. You don't want Satan to take your thoughts captive. You don't want his deception to start taking control of your life. You've got to take your thoughts captive. And you know how you do that? The helmet of salvation, the power of Jesus Christ. You cannot do it yourself. Listen to me. If it's me against Satan, I'm going to lose. That's why it really bothers me that so many believers think they can go out into this world and fight the battle and not be ready. I remember my grandmother. I think it was my grandmother. Might have been one of the older saints that I pastored over the years. I pastored a lot of them. The oldest one, I think, was Ann Hazel Young. She was 107 when she died. But let me tell you something. I lost my train of thought. I was talking about something somebody said. Oh, I know now. I know. Thank you. Used to bother them when Christians would say, I gave Satan a black eye tonight. No. If Satan got a black eye, it was Christ through you. That old saint was right. You got to protect these thoughts. You got to protect yourself. You can't go out into this. Listen, this world is messed up. Do you believe me? What's right is wrong. I think I can say this morning. Taking boys and transforming them into girls? Turning girls into boys? What is wrong with my world? This world is crazy. It's broken. It's shattered. I cannot let Satan get into my mind. Philippians 4:7 says it well. God's peace guards our hearts and minds. I say praise the Lord. The helmet of salvation guards the believer's mental and spiritual clarity. That's an important statement. Because salvation itself is a stabilizing truth that keeps the mind anchored when the enemy tries to destabilize it. Did you catch? Let me read that again. The helmet of salvation guards the believer's mental and spiritual clarity. Because salvation itself is the stabilizing truth that keeps the mind anchored when the enemy tries to destabilize it. I know I'm saved. I have the assurance. I say praise the Lord. Satan's a liar. He can tell me I'm one thing, but I know where my identity lies. My identity lies in Christ. And being a person of holiness, I came to that place, that second work of grace, where I surrendered myself to God, and immediately He cleansed my heart. He filled me with His perfect love, bringing more clarity and more stabilization. And Satan, the liar, can attack me all he wants, but I have the power of Jesus Christ. I say, praise the Lord. That's what the helmet is all about. It might be the most, no, it's not. Listen, it is an important part of the armor. The helmet guards the mind with gospel clarity. That's important, the good news. The helmet of salvation is not merely a symbol of protection. It is God's strategic defense for my mental and spiritual clarity. I can know the truth. Satan can throw his strategy, his weapons against me, but mine are built on this. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the Messiah. It's all about the Christ. No wonder tomorrow when I talk about the gladius, it might sound like the most important part of the armor. In spiritual warfare, the enemy's primary battleground is your mind. I've already said that, but listen, I read this morning as I studied. If he can confuse your thinking, if he can distort your identity, if he can even cloud your assurance, I think that's an important statement. I can't let him have an inch. There's no place in my life for his nonsense. If he even clouds my assurance, he can weaken my obedience, disrupt my walk with Christ. That's what he wants to do. Remember, as I said in sermon number one this week, when the camp started, the first time I preached, he wants to oppose God. He's against our God. He wants to deceive, discourage, disturb, dishearten, disillusion me and the believers, and he wants to destroy the church. He doesn't like it when we're in the turtle formation. He doesn't like it when we're together as one and there's unity in our ranks. The helmet of salvation counters this by anchoring the believer in the saving work of Christ, past, present, and future. Now, this was a new idea I came up with about 5 o'clock this morning. I was doing some research, past, present, and future. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a powerful statement. When you think about the past, Satan never throw your past up against you. He does me. I mean, I was a mess. But what salvation does, it gives me clarity about, listen, what Christ has already done. The helmet guards your mind, my mind, grounding us in the finished work of Christ. When Christ said on the cross, Father, forgive them. And then he said, it is finished. Let me tell you, folks, it was finished. The work's been done. I can have assurance because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are justified by faith. You're justified by Christ through faith, Romans 5:1. You are forgiven by Christ, Colossians 2, and you are redeemed. Woo! I get to shouting here in a minute. And I still got to preach one more time. I got to be careful. I got to keep my voice. But listen, if I can get out there at an Ohio State Buckeye game, or back in the day, poor old Dr. Carter down there, Dallas Cowboy fan, when I get out there and cheer for those Washington Redskins, let me tell you, I acted like a nut. I would scream so loud I'd lose my voice. It's about time the church woke up and started shouting the name of Jesus. I say praise God. God is awesome. Listen, you're redeemed. It's done. Don't let Satan lie to you. You have a new identity. You're a child of the King. The past tense salvation provides mental clarity, reminding me and you that the foundation of our relationship is with God is secure in Christ. The enemy cannot rewrite what Christ has already accomplished. I say praise the Lord. Let's talk about salvation. I had a lot more there. I really put a lot of stuff down this morning. Let's go to salvation present. That's where the battle's taking place right now. We have clarity about what Christ is doing now. The helmet guards the mind by reminding believers of the ongoing work of salvation. Reminds us of the journey that we're on. That Christ saves us at a point in time. Then we have that progressive sanctification. We grow and become. And now, to do that, you've got to have the shield of faith. You got to get into the Word. I'm a Wesleyan Arminian. I'm not a person who believes I'm part of the elect and I was chosen and I had no choice. I have a choice. It's up to me to read this book, to have that faith, to let Christ work through me. And let me tell you, He does. He will. I say praise the Lord. Christ is constantly sanctifying you. That's that journey. The Spirit is constantly, presently renewing your mind. I'm 77 years old. I'll be 78 in about a half a year. And I'm still learning new stuff all the time. God is persevering and preserving you. This present tense salvation gives clarity for the daily battle against. Now, here's what it gives clarity to. And you're going to face this. You're probably facing it now. Temptation. Discouragement. Spiritual fatigue. The helmet reminds you that you are not fighting alone. God is actively shaping your desires. God will shape your desires, strengthen your will, and empower your obedience if you put your trust into Him. He's the mover. He's the first mover of everything. You can't forget that. That's prevenient grace. That's another thing that Wesley believed that got him in trouble with the Anglican Church. Clarity gained. You're not trapped in who you were. The Spirit actively is reshaping you into whom you are called to become. I say praise the Lord. The same yesterday, the same today. Wow, we're going to be done in a moment. And the same tomorrow. Salvation future. Salvation gives us clarity about what Christ will complete. The helmet guards the believer's hope by fixing the mind on the future certainty of salvation. Christ will return. Titus 2:13. Every enemy, including death, will be defeated. 1 Corinthians 15:26. That might not mean a whole lot of deal to you. But I'll tell you something. I've officiated at over 600 funerals. Now, how did you do that as a pastor? Well, I wasn't only a pastor. I was a Vietnam veterans chaplain for 6 years. I was a police chaplain for 6 years. And that brought me to a lot of folks where I did funerals and people I didn't know and just a lot of them. And I'll tell you one thing, and as I told you, and I don't know which sermon it was, but I never saw anybody in a casket till the day I was saved, the night before. Never. I was as far away from death as a kid, except when Satan was taunting me as the only one in the family who was saved when I was 12, and I live right next to the cemetery, and every time I'd see the hearse come into the cemetery, Satan would taunt me, well, you might go to heaven, but your mom is not going to heaven. And as a little 12-year-old, I didn't know how to deal with that. But I've learned one thing in preaching funerals and understanding the scripture. When that day does come, when this old heart stops beating, and all those tears that's going to be shed at my funeral, I gave it to Needham's story. They are to pass out handkerchiefs with onions in them. I expect some tears in that place. Well, there'll be enough if my boys are there, I can tell you. But aren't you glad that even death is defeated and we have that promise? Not just the future of tomorrow, but the future and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. I say praise the Lord. The future tense of salvation protects the mind from despair, from fear, from hopelessness. The helmet lifts your eyes beyond the present battles to the guaranteed victory that's secured in Jesus Christ. It's guaranteed. Clarity gained. Your future isn't fragile or undefined. It's secured. It's radiant. It's overflowing with the glory of God and the power of Christ. Wow. Aren't you looking forward to heaven? I am. I'm going to close with one last thing. I probably have, 25 more pages. I got to be careful. Listen, the enemy attacks and he thrives when there's mental fog in your life. When you are confused about the goodness of God. When you start doubting your salvation. You start listening to the lies. You let the shame of your past failures overcome you. You're so afraid about the future. Your identity is distorted. There's false doctrine thrown at you all the time. Because of life and life, sometimes it brings emotional instability. I can tell you right now the things I deal with as a father, a grandfather, a husband, a pastor over the years, there are times when I was emotionally unstable. Things just, they get to you. But the good news is, if you have the helmet of salvation, they might get to you, but they're not going to win over you. Greater is he that is in you, folks. This helmet of salvation is powerful. It cuts through the fog with the gospel clarity. It stabilizes your thinking. It strengthens your confidence. It centers your identity in Jesus. Wow. I think I'm ready for battle. I just have one more piece to talk about tomorrow. But let's go to the last slide. I want to leave you something that I call, and I want to get to the bottom of these notes, application for life. You have to guard your thoughts. The helmet of salvation reminds us that the mind is a spiritual battleground. Folks, listen. Don't let Satan have an inch of your mind. If you start thinking anything that's off kilter, immediately pray. Immediately talk to God. Not every thought that enters your mind is from God. You got to remember that. And not every feeling reflects reality. Satan's a liar. The enemy begins to attack by planting subtle doubts, subtle fears, subtle distortions. That's how he works. You have to guard your thoughts with this. Number two, reject condemnation. Do not let Satan have an inch by attacking your identity. Just do not. Now, if something's wrong, there's a sermon I preach, I think I got about a minute and a half left. There's a sermon I preach where I talk about guilt. Sometimes we have unnecessary guilt. But sometimes the guilt is real. Sometimes it's God's Spirit telling me, hey, Joe, you're going down the wrong track here. And Satan will use that all the time. And I understand that all guilt is not wrong condemnation. But you got to understand, you got to make sure who it's coming from, and you got to check out your life. And if everything is where it ought to be and you know that you're walking like you ought to walk, just reject it. Because Satan's a liar. It's one of his favorite weapons, accusation. He wants believers to live under a cloud of doubt, a cloud of guilt, questioning their standing with God. But true salvation silenced the enemy's voice. I say, praise the Lord. It declares that you are forgiven. Now think about this. Just soak this in for a moment. True salvation declares that, and say this to yourself, I am forgiven. Say it with me out loud. I am forgiven. I am justified. I am accepted by God through Christ. You see, rejecting condemnation is not ignoring sin. It's refusing to believe the lies of the enemy. Number three, renew your mind. Transformation begins with new thinking, and that needs to be from here. I love good books. I got a good book last night that I'm going to start reading, and it's called The Unsaved Christian. I can't wait to get in that book. I have a book that a guy gave me I met at McDonald's a few weeks ago. He saw me sitting there, and I had my Marine Corps hat on. He come up, and he started talking to me. He was a veteran of Vietnam who had three Purple Hearts, a Silver Star, and he had a book about the enemy. And he gave me this book, and he was a Christian. And it was about him as a believer, as a Marine, and as a Christian. And he gave me the book, and it's laying on my shelf at home. I can't wait to read it, but I had to study for this camp first. You immerse yourself in God's Word. Your thought patterns will change. And then finally, anchor your identity. Is that the last one? No, it's almost the last one, and we'll close. Anchor your identity. The enemy loves to distort your identity, but the enemy's a liar. You anchor your identity, refusing to let past wounds, failures, labels, or voices define you. You are redeemed, beloved, and chosen. I say thank you, Jesus. And then finally, live with hope. You don't have to let hopelessness have an inch of your life. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is confident expectation rooted in God's promises. The summit of salvation lifts your eyes beyond present struggles. Finally, stay alert. Insomnia, is that right? You have to suffer from insomnia. Stay awake. The helmet of salvation sharpens your spiritual awareness against false teaching, subtle deception, spiritual confusion. I say praise the Lord that God has given us exactly what we need to live the life. Amen? Amen. Stand with me this morning. We're going to close differently. We're not going to pray. We're going to sing. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Now think about it. Kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away. But there's something about that name. Take the helmet of salvation. I say, praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody you haven't shaken hands with. Praise God this morning. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Gladius, folks.